Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, Park fans. We're your podcast for theme park fans. We're here every week with some great theme park chat, chatting to some people in the industry as well. If you're new around here, welcome. I am Bex, and I'm joined by my good friend Glenn, who you're basically like park co-host at this point.
I know. If you get the award, big if.
Oh, you've brought it up again. Are you trying to embarrass me? Do I get to come up with you
to the, you know? The...
Well, are you going to wear a sequin jacket or something, you know, award-winning appropriate?
If it's an award ceremony, of course I'd wear a sequin jacket.
Well, I mean, you don't need an excuse to
white silk scarf, yeah. Shouting bravo at various other winners.
But if you are new here and you haven't heard us talk about this before, we are, of course, referring to the UK Theme Park Awards, which, much to my surprise, I have been nominated in this year. The voting is open now, so you can go and place your vote. You don't need to vote for me. As I keep saying, I will never do a beg for votes, but please go and vote for somebody, because I think it's quite important that we send a message, we let the industry know what we're thinking about the theme parks, who's doing good things, what we want to see more of. And the Theme Park Awards are definitely a good way to do that. But yes, there is a content creator category, and your favourite theme park podcast is nominated for it this year. But honestly, it's just nice to be nominated. I'm just happy to be there.
My family have all voted.
Well, I'm very... They did it. For someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And a few of the other... They tried to go through every category, and obviously they're not up on screen, scare mazes and Halloween events and stuff like that.
You don't have to vote in them, that's the other thing. There is a, if you skip,
I didn't explain that to my son.
I don't know which one to choose. If you don't know, just skip through it. You don't need to vote for anyone. Yeah, the voting is open until the 28th of August, so you've got a bit of time on that. And then we've got the ceremony in September. So, as always, very grateful to be nominated by whoever or however many of you did it who listened to this podcast. And that is enough for me. But yeah. I won't mention it again. I probably will.
She will.
This week, you're here because we've just come back from a little trip together. We love a day out together. And I took you for the first time to Phantasialand, which is just outside Cologne in Germany, which is the country in which you live, but yet you'd never been to Phantasialand.
And I've never been to the other one either. What's the other one? Oh, Movie Land or something.
Oh, you basically haven't been to any major German theme parks.
I've been to Tripsdrill, and I've been to Europa Park many times.
You've been to Europa Park, yeah. But yeah. Phantasialand was one that hadn't sort of crossed your path before now. And I said, it's the school holidays. We've both got children at home with us and not a lot to do. Why don't we go on a little
theme park day
out? So I thought we'd discuss our experience there. It was my fifth time there. It was your first time. So your sort of first impressions of it, and also how I think the park is bearing up, which I'm going to say it now, not entirely positive, which is shocking for me to say, because I genuinely love that park. But there are a few things which I'm starting to raise some eyebrows about. So we'll get into that as we do the podcast. But whether you've been to it or not, hopefully this will be interesting to you. I will just say, I still do highly recommend you going to it. It is not a theme park that I think you shouldn't visit. It is beautifully themed, some incredible attractions there, and it is a really good day out. I think it's a lot to do with timing your visit, which we'll get into. Now, you live, as I always say, you live 3 hours from everything in Germany. We did a little bit of a road trip to get there. We didn't stay at the on-site hotels for complicated reasons, but there are on-site hotels there. There's the Charles Lindbergh Hotel, which is the one that always gets talked about at Phantasialand. It's the one that's kind of intertwined with the Flying Coaster. But you stay in sort of, I'm going to say, pod-type rooms.
Yes.
And if you know anything about Glenn, he has a a level of hotel rooms.
I was wondering where you were going to go then.
I think you're well known for liking the finer things in life, and hotel rooms are one of the things that
I need my points. Yeah. I need my turn down service. Yeah. Little things that I can't live
the
without.
The pods didn't appeal to you.
No. And you have to be, also I was with my son, and you have to be over 16 or something to be in a pod.
Yeah, I think it's 12. I think he would have been older, but I had my 5-year-old.
I told him 16. Oh, no, we can't go to pods. It's over 16. Yeah.
But I had my daughter with me, and she was definitely too young to stay in there. Yes. So that's something to bear in mind if you have thought about staying there. As we said, we've got our children with us. We're looking for sort of suitable hotel accommodation on park, and we couldn't really
find any.
That would work for what? No. I mean, I don't mind sharing a room with my daughter. You're a little bit more.
He listens to this podcast.
I know, but I say you don't mind. He also wants his own space. He's at the age, he's 14. He doesn't want to be sharing a room with his dad. So it's, you were kind of looking for a 2-bedroom or an interconnecting or something like that.
And absolutely nothing. No. They did have those suites, which were, they claimed to be multi-bedroom things, but it was like an Alibaba kind of curtain. And that was it. And like, no. he snores.
Imagine in the morning when you could have whipped that curtain to one side, the entrance.
You're right,
it would have been disappointing for him.
Yeah, it was. He's not into his fairy Alibaba on the 40 Thieves fairy tale, so he has no interest in, you know, recreating that. So, yeah, a thin curtain is not a suite for a start. So look, can't.
Yeah, take note, Fantasialand.
Yeah, I want solid walls.
For us, it just didn't work to stay on site.
No.
And we ended up actually staying in Bonn, which is far. It was about 30,
40. About half an hour, it was. Yeah.
We did find a 3-bedroom apartment there, which it was all right, but it's very hot.
Oh, yeah. Germans don't do air conditioning.
There was no...
Yeah.
If you are booking somewhere in Germany in the summer, if you find something with air conditioning, you've absolutely hit the jackpot.
It was fine. Then we remembered that Cologne was near and probably more hotel friendly.
Well, it was as we were driving past Cologne. Cologne. I used to spend loads of time in Cologne. I know all the sights of Cologne, but we didn't stay there.
No.
Okay. We stayed in Bonn.
You
don't need to stay on site if you are going to Fantasialand. It's kind of the point that I'm making. You have got a couple of cities right on the doorstep. So if it doesn't suit you to stay on site, don't worry about it. But we made our way there. Now, this was the second week in July.
Mm-hmm.
And the German schools were still at school.
Mm. You can see where this is going, can't you, kids?
We were of the opinion that it might not be super busy because the tickets that we got for the day were
very cheap,
weren't they?
€46 each.
I think it was 36.
Oh, 36, sorry. €36 each.
€36
each. Because I texted you. Oh, no, we were on the phone at the time, weren't we? And I said, is this right? Am I getting everything? It was just like one of those grandparent walk-around tickets.
it seemed very cheap to me, but I was like, okay, well, maybe it's because the German schools are in. Maybe in Germany,
it's quite a day.
Are not such a big thing at the end of term. So maybe they're just trying to, you know, bolster the admittance numbers a little bit.
Get them in.
So off we toddled. And as we were pulling off the motorway to get to Fantasialand, we were met with quite a large queue.
Of coaches with kids on them.
and a lot of children in highly visible tabards walking along.
Oh, that was the English school. Oh, my God, that was cruel. So, there was a majority were German kids, and there was one school trip, and you could see these, vibrantly colourful tabard with the school written on the back of it, and it was a British school that was on a school trip, and these kids, I mean that's discipline. If when I was at school, if is it right, we're all going to wear these. Oh yeah, all right, fine. And then oh my, Mine disintegrated on the first ride, miss. Sorry.
So it came off on the roller coaster.
Yeah. And then it found its way to that bin with everybody else's. And then you'd be, you know, you'd be running wild. These kids, and it was, what, 30-odd degrees when we were there?
Yeah.
These kids dutifully kept them on all day. That is fear of repercussions. There is some there is some kid who's telling a story at school of how he took a tabard off for 5 minutes, and the fury that was rained down upon him, that every other kid in that school never ever takes a tabard off. So yeah,
I'm
they
dead.
Were
yeah.
Oh, that, and they were so, it, as you said, when they were getting on the ride, it looked like a health and safety meeting at the station.
Oh, bless them. It must have been a private school. Like you say, there's no way kids from a comp were keeping
No.
And these were not young kids, by the way. These were like 15, 16-year-olds.
Yeah, it was like a sixth form-ish thing, weren't it? But yeah, young sixth form, I think, yeah. Oh, were they a school? They were 15, 16. We'll leave it at that. Yeah. I don't.
So this was our first raised eyebrow moment, which was when we got into the park and there were masses of school trips. Now, we know in the UK, July is school trip season. I actively avoid UK theme parks for that reason. I didn't know how it was going to be in Germany. I can confirm if you go to Phantasialand in July, it is very much school trip season if you go during the week.
But they are very well behaved German kids. Oh, sorry.
They are, but yes, on the whole, there was an incident on one of the kids' rides, which we might get up to. There was just a lot. It was like being at a UK theme park in terms of school trips. So if that is something that concerns you, don't go in July, would be my advice.
Yes.
We took immediate and swift action.
We did. And expensive action.
It was expensive action. So our cheap day tickets, as is so often the case at theme parks, suddenly became very expensive because I said, I think we're going to need fast tracks today. Now, I mean, even if there were a third of the people in the park, I think you would have still wanted fast tracks because you
if I see another person, but €80 was it?
€80 for a fast track ticket, and now
and it only gets you. One ride on everything. Yeah.
It's one shot, and it's not even on everything. It is on all the major attractions, but it's not every single ride in the park. So, for example, the kids' rides don't have a fast track.
It's about
12 rides you get a fast track on. It's all the major stuff that you'd want to. And this is one thing that has changed since I last went, and I last went last year. This is a new fast track option to include everything. One shot, and it includes Fly, which you never used to be able to buy a fast track for. The only way of getting a fast track was to stay in the Charles Lindbergh Hotel. So I had preempted you before this visit saying we can get fast tracks, but you are going to have to queue for Fly. So that was a pleasant surprise in a way to find out that this ticket would allow us to skip the queue on that. What I will say is, if you are thinking you need to get a fast track, the only way to get a fast track is to go to guest services in the park. You can't pre-book them. You can't use them, get them via the app or anything like that.
Get them early.
Because
the queue gets longer and longer. Yeah.
It was all day, every day, all the time we walked past it, there was a big, big queue for guest services because that is the only place to get fast tracks. And you don't have to buy the £80, €80 one, which is one shot on everything. You can still buy individual one shot fast tracks. So if you only want a fast track Black Mamba, you can do that. You can't buy a one shot fast track for Fly. You can only do it with the €80 package, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Anyway, we were in, we were sorted, we were surrounded by school children. But it's your first time in the park, and I'm like, all right, I have to impress you. I have to, so let's go to Rippon.
Oh, well, yeah. Yes.
And I mean, I think it's fair to say you've never seen a themed area like that before.
No. That all of the themed areas were amazing. I haven't done the Disney. Well, no, I've done Euro Disney, but that doesn't count. My nearest theming was Europa Park, which looks a bit rubbish compared to this place. As in looks.
Yeah, no, I mean, agree. The immersion of the Fantasyland areas, is next level.
I was shocked how little theming went into a Europa Park, even like the modern rides, like Voltron or something.
I
was shocked how little theming goes into them in comparison to this place. It was What was the launch train one called? The one that has a double launch.
Karen.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You could say anything. But the where it goes, oh, where you can stand, and it looks like it's almost climbing vertically against a wall. The theming of that place is amazing. It really is. I was really blown away by the detail of little things, and you were pointing stuff out as well. And it's yeah, it's especially when we tried fly first, didn't we? Yeah.
So that's in Rookburg, which is
Yeah.
this whole area which is created just for that one roller coaster basically and the hotel.
Yes.
And if you've still never been, it's really hard to explain the wow moment that you get as you kind of come out of the tunnel and into that area and you just
It yeah,
see.
it take you can't just walk in there the first time. Well, I couldn't. You can't just walk in there and walk straight on the ride. You can't.
No.
You just have to stand there for a minute and like take it in. It is quite bright, and it's a triumph of just thinking of everything, and the way it brings you out from that tunnel makes it so you can't really see anything else. It's not like, you know, you like sometimes you see something and you're taken out of it by the one thing I did notice all around that park is very high walls. Yeah. And so you are wherever you, whichever zone you're in, you are completely encased in that because it's so big around you. And so yeah, I quite like that. You didn't see another part section of the park to take you out of that section you were in then.
No, they do that really, really well. And obviously Fly is the main event in that area, but there are lots of little hidden details that I was pointing out to you, and even like how they have like fake sort of coal shoveled up against pillars and things like that. Tiny little details which you don't even every time I go in, it's something different. But this was going to be your first experience of Fly, and I couldn't ride it with you because I had my daughter with me, so I was watching from off ride, and I sent you down toddling down the fast track queue, so you didn't get the full queue experience either, which is a
Yeah,
you know it's
I'm all right with that. Don't worry about
I know
that.
you're
Yeah, it's
fine,
fine.
but
Yeah.
it is an impressive queue.
Well, hang on. Was it dark? And was there occasional flashing lights? And was there no, I won't make a comment on the music. Was there any just ambience and things like that, and dark and zigzaggy corridors,
It's
which you
not
think
very
it,
zigzaggy, actually.
oh, but
It's
you're
quite.
is there lots of fake rooms? You think, oh, I'm nearly there, I'm nearly there, and then you go around the corner. And, oh no, I'm not. So yeah, I didn't miss out on any kind of experience. You're fine.
I he hates a queue line.
I hate a queue line.
And
I
then,
also hate where you have to empty your bloody pockets.
well, yes, it's a locker
Oh, here we
system,
go
and we know
again.
we've heard all about your Vulture
Yeah.
unlocker system rant. The main issue for you always is that you have to wear glasses, and if you use the locker
Yes.
system, you have
I
to
have a
leave your
visual
glasses.
disability, which is emphasized when I don't have my corrective spectacles. So
You're fumbling around
yeah,
trying to.
I have my helper, who's also known as my son, who I swear to God, we walk like there was a singer in the 70s called Ray Charles, and he always had this guy. He was completely blind, bless him, and he would walk with his hand on the shoulder of his assistant, and that's how he walks around. And that's what me and Oscar like to salute do. And so I will walk with my hand on his shoulder because it's dark and I can't see a bloody thing. So it's, I've already been taken out of the experience by sheer terror of what I'm going to trip over or walk into. But carry on. But
But you were about to ride an incredible
I
flying
was.
coaster,
And
Vekoma
I was
Flying
very
Coaster.
excited about it.
Well, and so you should be. And
Yes.
you get the wonderful station where you sit in the seat normally,
Oh, that
where you
freaked me
board.
out. That when
You're
I
like,
got
hang
when
on,
I
it's not a flying coaster.
Yeah, I know. I was like, hang on, how's this? So I'm trying to work out in half darkness. How does the seats work? And I'm thinking, well, obviously somebody thought about it, and they haven't allowed the train. It's not broke, and it's not coming like that. And they'll just send it back out again like that. So I was convinced that the ride would fix itself once in motion. So
Yes.
yeah, the I hadn't actually considered. I mean, I'd seen it going past outside, but I actually considered the rigmarole of how it restrains you on the ride with the leg brace things and everything else. And I thought, actually, yeah, my legs would be dangling. So yeah, it's funny when you think about it. You think, oh yeah, your legs need to be strapped in as well. So
you're
yeah,
so, a train full of people with legs like caterpillar,
just dangling out, and the longer legged people like just clip things as they go past. So yeah, so it started, and once again, I'll tell you how I felt when I got off. So yeah, this ride, which everybody had been so it's considered one of the best rides in the world, or the most innovative rides in the world. And so I was really excited to go on it, and I was like, oh wow, this is going to be brilliant. And I got off and went, meh. It's the most meh ride I think I've ever been on. Ever. It's so meh. Right, so you get on it. Right. I hope you buy extra comment space underneath your post, because this is obviously going to be the clip, isn't it? Right, so hang on. Pause, edit point, ready for the clip. Here we go. So you get on the thing, and it does that very fancy thing where it puts you into position. And then if you were on the front, I think there would be a modicum more interest. But you can't. You're facing down. You can't see in front of you anywhere because the next car is in front of you. Your view is quite restricted. Really, you can't look. Considering it's called Fly, I never saw Superman flying looking straight down. He flies with his head up and his arms out like that, which is what flying is. And flying facing straight down, wondering about the mechanical integrity of the thing that's suspended. You know my thing about I don't like being suspended on.
Yeah, but this is your problem. You don't trust the restraints.
I don't trust restraints. I was like, I'm sure there's no question about the rigidity of the restraints.
Absolutely not.
But my one concern about Victus was when it's right at the top of the swing, am I being held in by the restraints? And I do genuinely hate that. And so to go on a ride, which is longer than it looks, when you're not enjoying it, and just staying, you're just staring straight down. There's no sensation of flying.
Oh, I disagree. Honestly, no. I'm on it. I look down and I can remove the restraint from my mind, and I am just flying through the air and just enjoying the ups and the downs and I just love it. I find it very freeing. I find the restraint super comfortable. I obviously have no doubt about their integrity. I am very comfortable in them, and I just love it. I love the near misses. I love how long it is, like you mentioned. If you're not enjoying it, it's long, but it's a long ride. It is. And I never ever get bored of it, but so I'm sad that you didn't
oh don't put that on me all, don't say you're
all
sad
the same things.
Yes, it'd be boring. Well, it would be boring. Well, I please, people, write in postcards, stamp sealed down envelopes. I'll pay the postage, but you've got to write in and tell Rebecca that it's not for me. We're going to set up the It's Not For Me Club.
Okay, we'll set that right now. If Fly is not for you, then I mean, where you're going to find a postcard from, I don't know. Stamps. that's about £3 each, so
they now feel that their voice can be heard. They'll find the money. They'll find the stamp.
Oh, you've offered to pay for it.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I'll reimburse them. I'm not paying for them up front.
Okay, well, fine. Do you think Fly is a great coaster or not? Is it overrated? Did you not enjoy it as well? Let's hear from you. Let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take away from the impressiveness.
No, absolutely not. And I wanted to like it. I genuinely wanted to like it. And my son went on twice because he went on with you. And I was already at the, you're all right. I've done it now. And maybe if I had gone on a second time, I would be. No, I probably wouldn't because it's a restricted view. There's no sensation of flying. It's a very clever idea, and I won't take it away. But the execution, because you are so near to things, it doesn't give you the sensation of flying. It gives you a claustrophobic feeling, and flying shouldn't give you that claustrophobic feeling.
Just to point out, you've never done Air or Galactica at Alton Towers, so you've never done another
No.
flying coaster,
Oh,
which is
there's
totally
more of them, is
different.
there?
Oh
All
well,
right.
yeah, well that's a B&M flying coaster, so
Oh,
very
well, of
different.
course. Yes.
Four abreast rather than two.
Would I prefer? Is there more of a sensation of flying?
It's the same thing. You're still in the same position. You're held in a different way. On Air, on Galactica, I still want to call it Air. There is a moment where you are completely on your back, so you're looking up at the sky, which you don't get on Fly for a protracted couple of seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be interested for you to see it. It's going to involve getting you to Alton Towers, so that's a
Did he have
don't know
fast
how that can
passes?
happen. Yeah,
Did he have fast? Yeah, they do. We've discussed this before.
they have
Well, no, we
VIP.
haven't. You have discussed it because I do listen to your podcast. And yeah, I will quite happily try all flying courses now just to get the sensation of flying.
I would be interested to know. I prefer Fly to Galactica, so yeah, that's my level. But hey, like you
Did you
said,
not feel claustrophobic though?
no, not at all.
Even with the near interactions and
No,
flying
I love
through
it.
all.
No, that's the thrill of it. No.
Okay.
No. But anyway, it's not the only thrill ride at the park. I mean, Fantasialand is great for thrill rides. We of course have Black Mamba, which every time I ride Black Mamba, it's this the B&M invert. I get more convinced that I actually prefer it to Nemesis. Controversial. But that was your first go on it. You have been on Nemesis a long, long time ago.
Yes.
But you enjoyed Black Mamba more than Fly, I would say then.
Oh yeah, that's a very
You
intense
got
ride.
front
That.
row on that, didn't you?
Oh yeah, you see, I get front row on everything, but by complete luck, it's the weirdest thing. I would never queue. I just want to point that out. I'm never queuing for a front row. I'm never queuing for a single rider. No, never doing it. Do you queue
No.
for front? You queue for front, don't you?
I'd queue for the front on certain things, yeah.
Would you queue for the front on that?
It depends how many people were. I wouldn't give it an extra 20 minutes. If it was an
All right,
extra
okay.
two rides, then yeah,
Yeah,
probably.
okay, that's fine. Yeah. I really enjoyed that ride.
Yeah, operations as well. Fantastic on that.
Oh
I mean,
yeah,
they were banging them out. Yeah,
it was
really.
barely worth the talking to, jump the queue, but we
I mean,
still
it was a 40
used it.
minute standby queue, so
Was
yeah,
it?
I don't. Yeah, 40
All
minutes,
right.
yeah,
It
it's
didn't
not
look
bad.
like there was much of a queue, but probably
Yeah,
because they'd hidden
deceptive.
it. Yeah.
I think it's a great invert. It is touch and go for me if it is better than Nemesis at the moment. The more I ride it, the more I enjoy it. We have to, of course, talk about Taran, which is the other big coaster that I wanted to get you to the park for, because obviously, as we all know, you did the music for Icon, which is the Mac double launch coaster. But you've never done an Intamin launch coaster, and
It's a
Taran.
noisy girl, isn't it? When it's
Oh,
launching, jeez.
isn't she?
That sounds rough as old talk. I mean, I know it's obviously some kind of the way it does it, but it doesn't half sound rough while it's doing it.
It is an incredible sound. It's an incredible roller coaster. For a long time, it was my number one roller coaster. I hadn't really told you what to expect at all. I just wanted you to experience it. And yeah, hopefully that lived up to my hype.
Yes, but again, it's that thing. We arrived in that area and we were looking. I was really impressed with how it looks.
Yeah.
And it's call me old fashioned, but I always like to see what a ride's doing before I jump on it. And I just naturally assumed at some point it went upside down. I don't know why. And so when me and my son walked the queue, oh, that was a long queue because you walk. on the fast pass queue, you walk parallel to the main queue. That was a lot. But then it got incredibly longer during the day as well. Like out of the station, out of the queue line along the where, you know, normal walking is. But that you realise how the fast passes are worth €80 when you're walking past this endless queue. And we got to the station and literally we're on the next train. So
yeah.
Probably because, yeah, all the schoolers are never going to buy a fast pass. So if you were there on that next Saturday, that would probably, the fast pass is probably more prevalent when it's busy. But still, we were on the very next train and they put us on the back carriage, the back row actually. And so I didn't really think about the restraints very much, and off it went. And all the way around the first round, I'm thinking, well, where does it do its flick, or what, you know, where are we going to go upside down? It never occurred to me that these restraints really aren't designed to be doing that, so you were all right. So I kind of got off it and thought, all right, I'm going to do that again. So it's the one only one I did again. I did it with you, and it was... I was more, yeah. Then I actually took in what was going on because I was waiting for the loop on the first go. So yeah, it is a very, again, it's a very long ride. I thought, and I genuinely like that. I think the theming works better than Fly, and you do get, especially yeah, where it's going right against the walls and things like that. And the dual launch is like, but very similar. It's kind of cool when you watch it, when you're watching the launches, like they're kind of stacked, aren't they? So one's going one way, one's going the other. So that's quite cool to watch.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that one. That's for non-looping or what's the technical expression for them?
Yeah, not a non-inverting coaster.
A non-inverting coaster. That was, are they quite rare? That's a good question.
No, I think now there is an assumption that sometimes if you're building a coaster, it has to go upside down. But then, you know, look at Falcon's Flight, it doesn't go upside down. A good coaster is a good coaster. I remember when you got off it the first time, I did say to you, is that the best coaster you've ever been on? And you said yes.
Yes.
Do you still hold that?
Yeah, because I think it has to try harder because it's not got a little fancy piece where it's doing a loop or a barrel roll or something like that. So it has to try harder to entertain, and I think it really did. It's it goes to prove that you don't have to go upside down to be entertained. So yeah, I genuinely, it's the only one I went on twice. So there's the seal of approval.
the speed of it, the intensity, the near misses, it just makes it an incredible coaster. I love it. It's probably my number four now, but it's still, you know, it's still in my top five coasters. And I would never get bored of riding it, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it. Like you say, the theming really adds to it. Anyone who's still thinking, oh, I need to go over and ride Taran someday, like, yes, you do. It's a ride that is not aging. It's still as good now as when I first rode it. And if you can get there when the park is open in the dark, it's just
that's amazing.
Again.
It
is so cool. I've done it before when it's kind of been foggy, and that is just insane. There are opportunities through the year when Fantasia Land is open late, and especially obviously over winter and Christmas and things like that, that would be a good time to go and do that. But what I would say, if you are planning to go around Christmas, is actually I'd go after Christmas, and this kind of, I guess, plays into our conversation now about school trips and busyness and things like that. Because Cologne famously has a big Christmas market, and it is on the doorstep of Fantasialand. And what you'll find is if you go in December and you think, oh, I'll combine it with the Cologne Christmas market, don't. Do not do it, because that park gets so, so busy in the run-up to Christmas. I just don't think it would be enjoyable. I've been in January and it's been lovely, and it's still Christmassy, and they've still got all the lights up, and it's still open late, and you go in rides in the dark and stuff like that. But personally, I wouldn't, especially after this visit, I would keenly avoid busy times of year at Fantasyland, because I think the park is becoming a victim of its own success. And it was really noticeable for me when we were there that there was a lot of school trips there. And whilst the ride times weren't like we see in the UK, there wasn't any sort of 3-hour queues or anything like that. I think the maximum was about 60 minutes.
Yeah, we saw 60.
So it's not as bad as what we've seen in the UK. For me, the problem with that park when they have a lot of people in is a lot of the walkways are quite narrow. Yeah. Yeah. It is not an expansive, sprawling park. It's actually a very small park.
Lots of pinch points as well. Especially near Black Mamba. That is so narrow around there.
Black Mamba and around the mine train, it gets really narrow. It really narrow where you're trying to walk from like Chapas over into the main Berlin Square, where you walk past a lot of the food places as well. There's a lot of steps and ups and downs, and there's no way of avoiding them.
Yeah.
And the park just, it doesn't feel pleasant when it's got that many people in it, even if the rides are operating at what most enthusiasts would deem as an okay sort of level. And to be fair to them, they were absolutely getting those trains out and getting those ride cars out.
Not slacking
at all for the number of people that were there. But it's just the park itself just loses some of its magic when it's so busy in the sort of people spaces.
Yes.
The main street up to sort of the Rookwood area where the carousel at the end, that it was just busy, and you find it hard to sort of find somewhere that doesn't feel like that, where you can just go, okay.
There's nowhere to sit in that park.
No.
It was a hot day and we were knackered, and we wanted to sit down, have an ice cream, have a drink. Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
And if you did find anywhere, it's full sun. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no green spaces. There's no grassy air. Well, actually, I say that. There is. And this is the weirdest thing about Fantasyland. We didn't even go there. But round the back of there's a big indoor section which has got the spinning coasters in it and some kids rides and stuff like that. If we'd carried on walking past there is a huge grassy wooded area with an old boat ride in it, which the park cannot use. Because there was apparently a big fallout with the neighbours, because a lot of houses literally back onto that part of the park, their gardens back onto it.
All right.
And obviously there were complaints about noise. Mm-hmm. I mean, surely you buy a house backing onto a theme park, you can't.
Oh, you don't question German planning laws.
But it's such a shame, because it's a really, it's totally different to any other area of the park. It's grassy. There's flowers. There's trees. There's a big lake. But they can't use it. There was a splash battle boat ride there. It turned into just a very, very slow boat ride. And I don't know, because we didn't go this time. I just didn't even venture down there. But I have heard that even that is now not operating. But that might be wrong. But it's a shame, because when you look at the scale of the map, that's probably about a third of the total park size is just totally unusable. So it does mean that when you are there on a busy day, you feel claustrophobic.
Especially staircases. Like when you go off the main square, when you're going towards Fly, and you go up them little stairs, and then at that, you just think, get a, here we come with a bulldozer again. That just needs wide
opening
it just,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it needs a lot of things like that, where narrow bits just right. Lose the retail. You need to get people through, and otherwise, and there's a lot of going back on yourself there. It's not a circular walk or whatever.
No.
And you say, there's, I don't know. It's just me, but it's like, oh, we've been here. We've been this way once, and then you're trying to fight your way through the crowds, and you know there's a pinch point coming up, and you instead of turning left, you turn right, and then you're coming back through it again an hour later.
It's a weird park. It's almost like there's a central bit that you can't get into from the car parks because you park around the outside, but then there's a central bit and everything spiders off it.
Yes.
So you have to walk down a spider leg to get into the central bit to walk up another spider leg. But
yeah,
normally you'd walk in down a main street and into the central bit. But because of where the car parks are, you don't do that at Fantasyland. So that I will say is the first time I've ever felt that. And I've been, like I said, this is my fifth visit. I've been before in, like I said, January, February. I've been in May quite a few times and I've not had that issue before, but I don't know if it's a new thing. And that's the other thing. Since I post about it on social media, I did have some German enthusiasts who said, this is the way Fantasyland is going. And they are offering cheaper entry, getting bodies through the door. And then to pay for that, you end up with a fast track, which obviously ends up costing you more, but no, it's not just about the money. It is about the actual
experience
on the day.
Yeah. Pile a mile of sand and treat doesn't work in a theme park. Just ramming bodies in just it annoys everybody. And so as a comparison to what you get, I thought, and I don't know whether it's me or not, the cost of the fast pass was rather extortionate. But does it equate to the same for other parks, or are they really pushing the luck?
I would say for one shot, it's on the more expensive side. I mean, I haven't bought a fast track at a Merlin park for so long, but if you were going for an unlimited gold fast track at somewhere like Alton Towers, yeah, it probably is over £100. But actually, we were at the Pleasure Beach the week before, and we got unlimited fast speedy pass there.
Yeah.
And that was £50 each,
But we can go on it as many times as we want.
Yeah, that was unlimited. Yeah. So, yeah. It's a pleasure.
Because I would have probably tried fly again, but you know.
Yeah.
But it's just a weird thing that you must go on it once and then that's it. I know it's to give everybody a go, but
the other thing is with this whole school trip thing, and this is something that I've kind of been thinking about since we went. I'm starting to get of the opinion that school trips maybe aren't the best theme parks, and it's a weird thing because in some ways if you're operating a theme park, a school trip is an absolute cash cow.
Yes. So
there's a couple of hundred guaranteed entry tickets, and I totally understand why the parks need to do it, but it's as I said, we were at the Pleasure Beach the week before and we had a very similar experience. There's a load of school trips, we have no choice, we have to buy a fast pass. So this isn't just a UK thing or a German thing, this is a, you know, it's Mr. Worldwide thing. if you allow a lot of school trips in and you just go, we'll just keep taking them in, it doesn't matter, we'll just keep letting them in, then the net effect for me is, A, if you're not on a school trip, your day is impacted.
Yes.
If you are on a school trip, bless them, they've probably been looking forward to it all year, they're going to a park where they're going to stand in queues all day.
Yeah.
It's not great.
If we're running our virtual park,
God help us.
It'll have great music. And and its social media will be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It would be award winning, I think. But anyway.
I think so.
Yeah. So do you put on your website and indeed the ticket office on this day of, we are in school trip season? Just to warn you, if you are an adult, there will be lots of feral children running around, jumping, pushing in, doing variously annoying things. Do you put that on your website?
I think you should. Yeah, I think you should say that, you know, you may want to reconsider the timing of your visit, as we're expecting it to be a very busy day. Obviously, you can get crowd calendars and things like that, but it doesn't really help. The parks know when they've got a load of school trips booked in. This isn't a last-minute thing.
No.
So, yeah, I think for the sanity of other guests, it would be helpful if they sort of said, this is the numbers that we're expecting on park that day, so it may be busy. It's not even just the numbers. I think that the thing with the school trips is it's big groups of unsupervised teenagers.
Yeah. You get, for every I don't know, for every 20 that are really polite and, you know, they're all out with their friends, you'll get the little annoying little sods. But because, and then when you times that by every school in the area being there, that's a lot of annoying little sods.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, it,
And the teachers are obviously sat in the coffee shop with their coffees, having a
yeah,
lovely day out.
yeah.
But
Still
it
getting
again,
paid,
it's
yeah.
impacting your other guests. And in fairness, the vast majority of kids that we saw there were absolutely fine. Same with
Oh
the classmates,
yeah.
actually. They weren't being a nightmare.
No.
But for example, like I said, I had my 5-year-old daughter with me. Fantasyland has not a huge amount of rides for younger children, but they are kind of grouped in one area to the
Oh,
main.
I know where
And
you're
there's a
going.
little
Yeah. Yeah.
frog hoppery type, not frog hopper, one where they like bounce around in a circle
Yes.
type rides, which her and a couple of other little children her age were sort of queuing up for. But a group of school children also decided they were going to
And they
go
were
for.
fifteen, 16-year-old
Yeah,
boys
these, yeah,
and
yeah. And
girls, yeah.
they were going on it to play up because
Yeah.
when they were on the ride, they were deliberately trying to make the ride bounce up and down. And you're like, okay, fine, they just have their fun and off they go. But then they went round again, and they're sort of taking up seats on this little kids' ride,
And
which
they
is
got on, there was a
up to kids.
two-seater, one of the big lads got on with your little girl.
Yeah,
And you think, get off. Idiot,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
that you wouldn't if these were teenagers on a day out with their families, you wouldn't expect that to happen. It's the
No.
nature of them being in a group with their mates on a school trip with no one
Yes.
supervising them, just means that they will push the
Yes.
envelope a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And this is not just a Fantasyland problem. We all have
Oh
seen
God,
the theme
no.
parks
No.
everywhere. It's a school trip problem, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't think you can say, oh, we can't have school trips at theme parks. Obviously
Oh,
they
yeah,
need
that's a lot
them,
of theme
but
parks closing
yeah.
if
But yeah, I think it's, yeah, maybe letting guests know. And maybe there needs to be a level of, okay, if you're coming on a school trip, that's fine, but there does need to be a level of supervision. You can't just bring the kids in and let them run riot. I don't know. I know when I spoke to Lawrence from Portons a couple of weeks ago, I asked him about this, and
yeah.
he was very clear that yes, they welcome school trips, but they very heavily limit the number that they have on any one day, and that's a
Oh, right, that's
measurement
good.
they've
Yeah.
taken.
Yeah.
So it's not unheard of for a park to do that. And I
Yeah, some
think,
part, yeah. We don't know which parks are not. Yeah. Yeah.
and it's that balance, isn't it, of quick win cash wise versus guest experience. And I just felt
Yeah.
the balance tip a little bit on that one whilst we were there.
Yeah.
Let me know what you think on that. I'm
But
not
then
trying to be all like, oh no, school kids can't have fun. I was a school kid once,
no,
remember?
yeah, we've all done it. Yeah, we've all
But
done it.
it's just that when you are a paying adult with a, especially when you've got a young family there, you sometimes it is a bit like,
But then they know you're just going to buy the fast pass, so they're double bubbling it, aren't they? Yeah, it's and then it's the same with the restaurants when you're trying to find food and stuff, and there's or anything you want, a drink or anything, and there's 300 kids in front of you, and you're like, oh jeez, and
It
you
does
know
make it
they're all
difficult.
nattering and queue jumping, which is my
Oh, you do not queue jump over
number.
again.
You get to
You will
the
feel the wrath.
back, okay.
I mean, I'm not going to go round everything that we did in the park on the day because, I mean, there's a million vlogs you can watch online that show that. I will just mention a couple of things. You didn't do either of the water attractions. You sent
No,
me on with
but
Oscar
I'm
because
staying, yes.
you decided that that was not for you.
And and when you got off, you both got off, I decided I was quite correct. Yeah.
Chappas was as good as I remember. I love that water ride. I think it's a lot of fun. It did break down halfway through, which kind of took out some of the immersion. But it was great, and it was a very hot day. So yes, I got soaked, but do you know what? It was the perfect weather to do it. And people ride that in December. Like
Well,
that, yeah. No.
no, not happening. No.
That was great. And then the rapids, which, as I said to Oscar, as soon as he was safely in the boat, these are not like any rapids you've ever experienced in your life. So when he couldn't get off, I
Trusted you, Auntie Bex.
I'm not going to give it away for anyone who hasn't ridden them either. But I will say, if you're thinking, oh, I'll go on the rapids at Fantasyland, absolutely do it. They are fantastic, but they are not your standard rapids. And that's all I'm going to say. And I got wetter on the rapids than I did on Chiapas. So it was a bad run for me on that one.
But did he enjoy it after the you got him on by false pretenses?
Yeah, I think so. It's a great ride, and it's surprising. And the first, I love riding it with people who've never ridden it before, because their look of horror on their face.
Oh, you're really selling this! Wow,
I love it. I'm just evil. and the one ride that I didn't go on with you was Mystery Castle, which is the drop tower, as we all know on this podcast.
Drop towers. But that was a proper drop tower as opposed to launch pad, which isn't a drop tower, even though you say it is. It's a launch tower. It launches you. The clue's in the title. and its previous name advice, Blast Up. The clue is in the title, but carry on. Oh, that was dull as ditch water.
Yeah, you didn't like that at all. I mean, there are two cycles on that ride. I think from your description, you got the worst cycle.
Why put two cycles on it then?
I don't know.
Why? Because, right, so I've used up my golden ticket on that. I want the best experience I can have on that ride.
It's a time cut off, so you'd have had to go on it in the morning. I think, because you went on what? Quite late afternoon. They swap it like in
why?
Or something.
Well, why? Well, and it didn't sound my golden ticket. If to experience the best experience of this ride, go on it before lunchtime. Oh, it was the most. Oh, I could have took your little kid on and she'd have been fine. She'd have got off going, what the hell with that? There's no jeopardy. There's no. I'm old enough to remember. The Trocadero in London, in the centre of London, the indoor theme park, which had rides in some, a fair amount of rides and cinemas and things like that, and arcade games. Remember them? Proper arcade games, and it had a drop type thing, which started in the absolute basement of the building and went through the 8 floors of the Trocadero right to the roof. I mean, you could touch the roof when it got to the top. It held you there for about 2 seconds, and then it just, there was no braking system on that. It just like turned off and fell, and then about 3 feet before the ground, it turned back on again. It was amazing, and that was a terrifying drop because you're going through the floors. You could see people on the arcades as you flew back down. It was an amazing ride. I said, your little one could have come on with me, and she'd have gone, yeah, this is boring. It's not completely dark. It pushes you up to start with, but only like half-heartedly, like a pfft. And then it kind of drops you a bit, then jacks you up to the top. We could see the other people around. It's not in pitch black, and then it descends, and it doesn't even fall. I won't even call it a fall. It descends. You can tell it's not doing it by gravity. It's doing it by whatever.
Yeah, there's a resistance to it.
Yeah, and so you just descend and then you get off. And you think, that's... Well, you don't like them. If you actually came on, you go, yeah, there's not...
I've done it before. I've done it once.
All right.
I won't do it again. But I think I had the different cycle to you because it was an apocalypse-style pull for anyone who rode Apocalypse
in Drake Manor. What? All right.
Big drop tower, which definitely dragged you to the pits of the earth.
If they'd given me my phone, I could have read my phone while I was on it. there was no jeopardy at all on it.
What was your overall thoughts on Fantasialand?
What were my overall thoughts of Fantasialand? Of all the parks I've been to, I'm trying to separate the visuals from the actual reality. This is the problem. I think there's a lot better rides at other parks. Taron excluded, but the rest of them, I think Flight is the most overrated thing I've ever been on. You've got to think of what's the most overrated ride that you think. So I'll give you that to think about while I'm carrying on. It seems within an inch of its life, but it needs to have some kind of overall plan about what's going on. It seems to have evolved over the years, and yeah, there are too many pinch points. There are too many dark corridors, narrow corridors. I think it does suffer a bit from we've got three big rides, come and pay for them, and the rest is like, yeah. There isn't a variety enough of rides. I mean, the other one was turned off. What was it? The one that.
Talakan, yeah, we couldn't go on Talakan. You couldn't even see it, which is a shame because I did want you to see the visual spectacle of
Yes.
that.
Oh yeah. Again, it's very high walls, and it would have. I'm sure. I have seen videos of it. When I saw it, I did recognize it from it being pushed onto my TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
I got the feeling I was paid. I'd gone and paid for three big rides, and the rest of it, like in the Japanese Chinese area, is there actually any rides there? Did we
There's
go on?
the ghost train, which I
Oh yeah, can't
suggested
go.
you.
We
It's
can't
not
go
a
on.
very
Go
good
on.
ghost train.
All
Um,
right,
and
yeah.
there is a madhouse as well, which
Well, that's a
we didn't
complete and
go.
also waste of area then. If you've got such a small park, let's start getting rid of the bamboo and banging something in. Come on, I want value for money. And 80. So all right, we paid 40 euros to get in, 40 odd euros.
Yeah, and
But
80
then yeah, then
also.
I got stung for 80 odd euros, and yeah, I feel like I've been a bit ripped off for cost to ride ratio. All right,
No, I think
I didn't do the two water rides out of choice, but put it this way, if it had been quiet, we could have done it in the morning. And that's always my thing. It's like the one with the standing up roller coaster in the UK.
Great manner.
Yeah,
Not standing up anymore, but yeah.
does it not?
Oh no, they've changed that to a sit down now.
Why?
Keep
That was its
up.
USP. Why would you do
No,
that?
that's another episode.
Oh, we were once round there, and we were trying to entertain our child, and we said, "Oh, we'll go straight on it." And I said, "Oh, that's the one with the standing up roller coaster." We went in at 10 o'clock. We were gone by 11:30. I mean, God Almighty! All right, it was quiet, but there is nothing there to justify a day out.
Oh,
And
well, I mean, the fans of Thomas Land would say
oh
very
yeah,
much differently.
I don't think Thomas Lamb was there then. But yeah, if it had been quiet, we'd have been having lunch somewhere else, and that's the sign of a thing. That's the sign of you being robbed blind.
That's the difference, though, between an enthusiast and a non-enthusiast, because I would then go and reride everything.
Right. So that's another hour. So we're having a late lunch somewhere. Oh God.
But no, I get what you're saying. It was not my favorite visit to Fantasyland. And that is a crowd control thing, really. There
Yes.
was that's what it came down to. I mean, the rides were as good as they ever have been. There wasn't I was like, oh no, that wasn't as good as it used to be, sort of thing. Obviously it was a shame Talakan wasn't running, but it was just the vibe on the day. I'll tell you what I did enjoy at the end, that we all went on at the end, the fun house. It's a good little fun house at Fantasyland, which is quite different, and that was nice. And by that point, everyone had started sort of clearing off a little bit, and the park felt like it could breathe a bit more.
Yes.
But
Oh, and
yeah,
the
for
merch is
me,
rubbish.
that is a constant criticism of Fantasyland. What they do with their merchandise, I have no idea, because they could be, never mind charging for fast track tickets, they could be raking it in on decent merchandise,
Yes.
and they just don't do it, and I don't get it. Like, there's like one jumper per major ride. Like, the stuff they could do for Fly,
I mean, when
it
you go around the
pains
pleasure
me.
beach and you see what the pleasure beach do, anything that anybody's just doing a hoodie with a transfer on it, he's just being lazy. Because when you see what my friend Damien does at the pleasure beach, and he probably doesn't have the same budget as they do, but God Almighty, that boy can knock it out of the park, quite
Oh
literally.
yeah. My
Yeah.
a Victus mug is a thing of
Oh,
beauty.
exactly. So there is no excuse for bad merch, I don't think,
No. You can't
because
even get a Fantasyland mug.
there you
There
go.
was not one there.
because we were trying to find a family friend who'd been there 51 years ago and had a photograph, so we tried to recreate the photograph for her. And we, my son wanted to get her like some kind of Fantasialand memento. We couldn't find anything, could we?
No, it's, and that has been a problem for as long as I've been going there. It is dreadful. It is the worst theme park merchandise actually of any park that I've been to, and I will say that quite categorically. Mm. And I don't understand why they don't see it as a huge potential revenue stream for them.
Yeah.
With the amount of people they've got visiting that park, and the attraction they've got and the love that people have for those attractions, people would spend the money on stuff. Even a pin, you can't buy a pin badge. I mean, what park doesn't have a pin badge?
Did they have a weighty pen?
No.
Oh, well,
I think they had a pencil. I think I saw a pencil.
Not a weighty
really
pen.
Bad.
We're not going back. No. We're not going back to weighty pens.
So yeah, I don't want to take anything away from the park. What I don't want to do is put you off going there, because I genuinely think it's a park that people should go to. And I mean, for me, Fly is fantastic. It's amazing. And Taran and Black Mamba. And just the theming of that park is like...
Oh, it's immense. It is immense.
You have
yeah.
to go and see it somewhere. But what I am going to say at this point is avoid the busy periods like the plague. Do not go in July. Do not go in December. I don't know, but I would imagine around October and Halloween is also very busy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Use your crowd calendars, look at when the peaks for that park are, and just avoid them, because that was it was hectic, and I can only see it getting worse. If they go down this model of offer cheap tickets, and this seems to be what they're doing, cheap tickets, get bodies through the door, and then let them deal with fast tracks afterwards.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, because the park is not set up structurally to deal with that model.
Good
it's
point.
Not like Alton Towers, where you can have thousands of people in the park and you can still breathe. It can't work there. They have just purchased some more land for an expansion on one side of the park. So that
And the neighbours have already put in their planning objections.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that's all been... I'm sure it's been taken into consideration. As far as I can tell, this is not for new rides. This is going to be for entertainment and things like that.
All right.
But it does just obviously give them a bit more space. But yeah, not the greatest of visits, but still a park that I love and with some rides that I love very much. If you have got a trip plan there, let me know. If you've been before, let me know if you agree with anything we've said, or if you've had a totally different experience. I'm very interested to know. You know, I'm always interested to know. You can find me on social media. Just search Bex Parkcast. My face will pop up and you can let me know. Or you can leave a comment wherever you're listening or watching this. Now, I'm off for a couple of weeks. I'm going on my holidays. So if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button so that you know when I release the next episode that it's there. It will let you know, and you'll be back on with us. There's lots more to come. September is going to be an exciting month. We have not only the UK Theme Park Awards, but also IAPA in London, the IAPA Expo for Europe, which I will be going to and recording podcasts from. So there is going to be exciting stuff coming up. So yeah, hit subscribe. And if you want to leave a review, as always, they are very welcomed. Now, before you go, because you've moaned at me, how many times have you been on this podcast? I don't know. Too many is the answer.
Too many. Too many. Okay, right. Okay.
Your complaint is that with every other guest, I've done a just got to ride it.
Oh, yeah. No, I never get that.
So the very first time you were on the podcast, I didn't do a just got to ride it with you, because you made it very clear you're not a theme park enthusiast. And so I just thought there's no point even asking, but we are where we are now. We're 18 months down the line. I have dragged you into my...
Has it only been 18 months?
I have taken over your mind with my roller coaster nerdiness. And I now feel like we are in a position where I can ask you the question.
Okay.
So,
right. Just gotta ride it.
This is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the podcast where I ask my guest if there was only one roller coaster in the world that you could save and every other roller coaster was going to get destroyed, which one are you going to save and why? Only one.
Only one. Oh, that's a very good question. And
it's such a surprising question for you.
You could, because I've been on so many times now, I never get asked. I had it written down on a piece of paper every time, but I've lost that piece of paper now. Or it's just decayed with the advance of time, so I can't remember. It'd have to be my first love. It would have to be. Wouldn't it? Yeah, it's got to be Icon. My first love. I'm a girl.
Icon at the pleasure be. How much are you saving this just because of the amount of hours you put into the soundtrack?
I like the launch.
And it would the soundtrack with it.
I especially like, which you never ever hear anymore, the special Halloween version of it, the Journey to Hell version of the Icon theme, which is, I really like that. And you'll have heard it once if you ever went that year, and that's it.
Is it on Spotify?
Is it? No. I mean, no, it's not.
Amanda, get this on Spotify.
It should be, actually. Thomas, who does all that for her, if I just sent him, he'd put it up, wouldn't he?
By the time he has it.
Does he have it? I shall text him imminently and say, put it on. At the end of July, put on the Halloween music just to get the kids going for October.
Hey, it started in the shops. We can start it with our ride soundtracks.
There you go. Yes. So it would have to be, if I didn't do me. What?
One roller coaster.
I'm just doing a bit of self promotion to start with, and then I'll go into you. Stupid rules. It would have been the Big Dipper, but I can't. No, it'd be the Taroni one. Because
this, ladies and gentlemen, is why I've never asked him before. It would be the Taroni one. All right, I shall write that down.
because I like how it went a lot. Like,
okay, but you can't save Icon and Taron. So which one are you saving?
Oh, that's not fair. You can't do that to me. Oh, I'm gonna have to save my family, aren't I? I'm going to have to save my loved ones first.
Begrudgingly. Is that Icon?
I will never forget the first time I went on it, just before the day before the opening, when me and Thomas went on near every seat to test the audio. We were convincing the ride ops that we were doing urgent.
Important business.
Yeah, important business on the ride of testing the where you come out of the station and the countdown and the launch and everything else, that it could be heard and you've got that full experience. And so we front, back, middle, back, front again, it was fun. And so yeah, I will never forget the first time I did it on an empty train with Thomas sat next to me, on the front row, and that launch when it was brand new and everything else. So it's got to be that.
Okay. She's Sorry. Safe. Don't worry.
Is that the shortest answer you've ever had?
We'll lock her in the box along with her soundtrack. Does mean that we lose the big one and its soundtrack, which is disappointing for me.
I was never going to choose that. I was sat. Did you tell? I did the wheel test. Do you know what happens in a wheel test?
I thought this was the end of the podcast, but here we go. We'll just tell
extended,
the story.
Extended bit for Patreons.
Subscribe now. We were at the Pleasure Beach a couple of weeks ago Hot Ice launch. And the next day we went on the rides, and you had promised your son you'd ride the big one with him. And very much you do not like riding the big one. I'd convinced you to do it in May.
It's a height thing rather than anything else.
You don't like the lift hill.
Yes.
But we were like, right, okay, let's just do it. You'll just do it one more time, then that's it. You never have to do it ever again.
Never have to do it ever again.
Obviously, we got on it just after 3 o'clock. And as we were sat in the train, the ride ops kindly announced that our train had been selected for the wheel check, which happens daily on the Pleasure Beach at the moment. And the big one will stop 50 foot up the lift hill.
That doesn't sound high.
Whilst the other train has its wheels checked before it goes back into the station.
Can I ask a quick question? Sorry. Sorry, I'm interrupting your story. Why can't we sit in the station while they check it? While they check the what?
I think it's because it's gone past the last block break at the point
Oh,
that they
right,
check
okay.
it.
All right.
So
Like, yeah.
technically, yeah, it
Yeah, all
can't
right.
be
I
watching trains at the
understand that
same.
now. Carry on.
So yeah, we were stuck on the lift hill for it's not
Ever.
that long. It's about no 5 minutes.
No, it was not 5 minutes. It was not 5 minutes. Oh my God, it wasn't 5 minutes. Do you know how many bottles? Ask me any question about anything in that ride, or how many hairs the person in front of me had on the back of their neck. Anything apart from looking down.
But yeah, we were the chosen ones, and it was fine, and you survived it.
Oh, but I am. Oh God, I've never been so relieved for it to start climbing the hill. What he said? Because he said 50 foot, and you think, well, that's 50 foot, and I think, okay, and then it rolled out and started climbing. And you think, well, surely that's 50 foot. Surely that's 50 foot. Surely that's 50 foot, and it just keeps going. And then it just, oh God, no, no,
It was an experience. I mean, there are many enthusiasts who would have loved to
Yeah, I
be
could say, do I get
like
an extra cred for that now or something?
wheelchair cred. Actually, it should be.
Yeah.
Right, we have diverged enough. This is the
Yeah,
end of the
go.
podcast.
Come on.
Go away, be free. I will see you in a few weeks. Hit the subscribe button. You'll know when I'm back. Have a lovely holiday if you're off on holiday. And I will see you soon. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.